Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Wole, and Ray Jeezy. It's episode 500. What's good, folks?
Team Top Golf. Back together. This is the first time I've seen y'all since Top Golf.
Yeah, it is. That was last year, right?
Was it last year?
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, of course, because it was like spring, maybe?
Spring last year.
It's almost been a year.
Yeah, for real.
It's been a year since we've been together. I mean, it's been 2 years since we've been together doing the show.
Yes, that's facts. But just all together, though.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man.
Yet we persevered. 500 episodes.
500, dude. And also, I forgot to mention, we're part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. But yeah, we're all together, man. This is. We should all take a picture or something. We don't like taking pictures, though.
I said I would take a picture for tonight, but... I want to give a quick shout out to Bianca Belair. Her entrance at WrestleMania was amazing, and people of all colors are just talking about how she or Cody Rhodes had the best entrance, and she paid homage to HBCUs. It just validates everything we're doing right now.
It's dope, man.
Just got to throw that in there.
I'm glad you did that, bro. It's the movement.
It is.
And folks know it's the movement, it's coming. It's coming.
Jump on now.
You know, we haven't talked in a while. You know, all three of us. We ain't talked about the Will Smith smack.
Do we have to talk about
it? No. I don't want to.
I mean, we could talk about it. I mean, you brought it up, so obviously we're going to talk about it. So, go ahead.
I was disappointed. I'm very disappointed. Let's put it that way.
I was extremely disappointed, and it made me view Will Smith in a different way.
I'm just going to say, like...
I would use some words that I... I'm not going to say what I would normally say because we're on...
What does it start with?
Yeah, what does it start with?
B-A-N.
Ooh, wow.
Okay.
Just being honest.
No, I just think, I mean, I see what you're coming from. I'm going to be real. This is my thing, is that there are certain people I think he wouldn't smack. And what made you feel like he's the one to smack?
Yeah, if that were Jerry Seinfeld, would he smack Jerry Seinfeld?
There you go. You're right. Well, but
if that were Ricky Gervais, would he smack Ricky Gervais?
We don't have to go that detailed. We already know what it is. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
so,
that's all I'm saying. I feel the smack was staged. Because, I mean, Chris Rock just put his hands
So you think it's not real? You think it's a real thing?
No, I don't think it's
so
real.
So you think it's like a WWE type of thing?
Yeah, that's what I exactly think it is. But let's... For the sake of purposes of having this conversation, let's say it's not.
Mm-hmm.
When Chris Rock delivered that joke, he was laughing uproariously in front
that's
of Jada.
That's a T-word, man. Yeah.
He was laughing very hard.
I need to look at me for that.
He was laughing very hard. And then I don't know what kind of look Jada Pinkett Smith shot him. And then he just changed. His whole demeanor changed. And
she
he
gave
just
him that look. She gave him that. She ain't going to check him, look.
But you know what's crazy, though, man? In today's time with everything that's going on, that's one of the things that led on the news, though. On the national news.
I know. It was big. It was big.
It's crazy,
that's
man.
That's my problem.
It is.
Yeah, that's one of our problems. Plus, he won an award, and it doesn't happen for black male actors to win an award like that, and you just... Ruin the moment. If it is staged, that makes it even worse. Why would it be staged?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
All it's doing really is helping Chris Rock. Like, his shows are now killing. They're on high demand. They were already sold out. Now more people trying to get in. He was in AC over the weekend, and people were standing in lines for hours trying to get into Borgata to see him.
But if I'm mistaken or not, wasn't it 6 years ago we were all like, boycott the Oscars? They don't support black... the black arts.
I'm just asking.
But Chris Rock wouldn't do that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. What?
He wouldn't boycott. He said he wouldn't. He says, as long as they pay me to host, I'm going to go and do my job.
Yeah, because... Yeah.
He said, I'm black and they want me to host. So that says something. Anyway.
It is what it is, man. But we can talk about that a whole different...
We can talk about that.
We talk about the topic. Yeah, I know. For real talk. We really could. We can go on and off on that topic for real. And provided me to host multiple DMV
That's the second
DMV
dig at
Top
Golf, right? I mean, just to enjoy your time when I suggested that.
No. Between us three? I actually did like Top Golf. Well, they went back there for a date.
That's what you always do.
But, no. It was a team building exercise. You don't like team building exercises, so I thought that was interesting. That's the only reason I keep bringing it up.
Look, it's a team. I like team building with my guys.
It's great. Let me. I'm gonna do this read because I see what y'all doing. Ant Prime Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commander insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
And you can join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Just search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
All right, we'll see.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
It's dope to have this all in person. You know what I'm saying? Hey, here's what we have on tap. We'll discuss whether the Commanders have done enough in the offseason so far to win the NFC East. We will have Sports Journey Washington's Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. on the show. Then at 8:20, we'll talk about opening day for the Washington Nationals. Kevin Nibley from Talk Next will join us to discuss this. At 8:35, we'll talk about the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship game between the North Carolina Tar Heels and the Kansas Jayhawks.
It's past my bedtime. I didn't stay up and watch
Kansas,
the whole thing.
Beat UNC 72-69. Finally, in our segment, HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with Prairie View A&M University safety Drake Cheatham. But first, right now, we have Sports Journey's Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. on the line. What's going on, Lake? And also, your birthday was yesterday. Want to say happy birthday.
Happy belated, man.
I appreciate that, fellas. Thanks for having me back on. Yeah, all is well. All is busy, for sure.
Great to have you back.
You was partying yesterday?
You said what was yesterday?
You said were you partying yesterday?
I mean, man, I had a nice little setup yesterday.
That's what's up, man.
I had a good night, but I will say my girl, good friend Janine Samuels, she planned a party with everybody from our job, and so yeah, I had a restaurant full of staff members and then also the owners, the general manager, everybody at the building was there. So we had a great time. We really did. And you know, it was funny, man. I went to the grocery store today down here, and they sang my birthday over the freaking intercom in the grocery store.
That's what's up, man. Oh, that's dope. That's love. That's love, man.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, go ahead, Lake.
Yeah, I mean, these small towns, they know everything. So they were just like, I was like, how in the world do they know it's my birthday? Well, Janine went on the air last night before she closed out and told everybody it was my birthday on freaking ABC. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, so that's how they found out. Yeah. Okay. So you was in the produce section. You're like, happy birthday.
That's hilarious. I came in, I know a lot of the folks in there. So this one lady, Miss Wanda, shout out to her. She always comes over, gives me a hug. She was like one of the first black faces I saw down here, to be honest with you. And she's so she's kind of become like, you know, she's like the big aunt, so to speak. So anyway,
the big aunt.
And they were like, there he is, blah blah blah. So, but I gotta tell you, man, like we getting a lot of love down here. Janina and myself, and I got a new friend down here, Danielle, who's from DC. She just joined with us today. We're getting a lot of love down here, so I can't complain at all.
That's what's up, man. Next time, if you need a drop from the stadium, just let me know. I'll do it for you. And I got you. All right.
Okay.
And let our listeners know on this show, you know what, you know, you were ABC, and what you're doing over there.
Yeah. So the station is WOAY, and my bio and everything's up on the site now. Finally, myself, Janine's, everybody. But they're really letting us, you know, take the station into kind of like the modern ages, so to speak. And we're having a lot of fun, man. We're the station for 7 counties down here in southern West Virginia. And again, you know, it was a step for me to try something different to get to my ultimate goal, which is out in LA, and I'm a step closer to it. And I got to tell you, transitioning from doing nothing but sports to now pretty much being all news. And yeah, and I was listening to the Will Smith slap thing. I covered that like every day for a week and had to break it down. And, you know, it's, you know, you do see things differently now from the news cycle standpoint of how I used to be cynical of it. But these are the things that now I have to talk about. And I did say last Friday, look, I'm not talking about Will Smith and Chris Rock no more. I'm just, we're going to get past that. And sure enough, in both of my shows, I do Good Morning America twice. That's all we talked about. So, yeah.
All right,
and, and to get to that, I was highly disappointed about that, by the way.
Yeah, so we all said the same thing.
It took away from Will Packer's moment, you know, as having a finally a black produced Oscars, you know, took away from his moment, took away from Denzel Washington, Samuel L. Jackson. It just, it was just a stupid thing to do. And I give Chris Rock a lot of credit, because if that were me, I probably would have been like Superfly Snooker off the top rope. I would have.
Show your age.
It would have been tables turned over up on live TV. I mean, I don't think it was staged, though. I thought it was staged when I first saw it, because Chris Rock took the slap and didn't like grab his face or didn't fall or anything. But that tells me even more that Will Smith just, he probably slapped him with his fingers, not with his hands. You know, just.
Oh, man.
But they're just toxic, man. And I got to say this, you know, I just think right now, Jada and Will, that whole setup is toxic. And it's just not a good look for them. It really isn't.
I appreciate you, brother. And you're a year older now, so I'm expecting you to have more swag at this point. You know what I'm saying? You talking about going to L.A. I'll visit you there. West Virginia, yeah, you got to sell me on that one. But
man, here's what I'm telling you. Y'all come down here, bro. You're going to be surprised. This is... Listen, I literally thought, what am I doing, man? Like, but now, like, I don't miss back home that much. I don't. I have peace of mind down here. I do. And it's slower. But, you know, not to give you guys a history lesson, I know we got to talk football here, but, you know, less than 10 minutes from here is Beckley. And Beckley is considered to be kind of like the like a mini Charleston. It's like the capital of Southern West Virginia, but Beckley has everything. I mean, when I say everything, you know, the mall and, you know, Costco,
Walmart,
Sam's Club, Walmart. Yeah, Walmart here. Yeah. I'm saying, I mean, like everything, you know, restaurants, Olive Garden. I mean, the whole nine. There's nothing. It's and more importantly, 200,000 people, and probably about 75,000 of them are black. So,
that's cool. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Man.
So it's all good.
Well,
it's all
good. Change is always good, like for real. And we grew up in pretty much Black County. And well, I don't know if you did. We grew up in PG. So, hey, we're used to it. But like,
I'm from Northeast, man.
Oh, even Northeast? All right, there we go. Even better. That's where my family's from, Rich Park.
Right.
I mentioned you should have some swagger, because it sounds like Coach Ron is developing some swagger. He said, quote, "This is the year that says we're going to ascend. And we should be ascending." Is he crazy, or do you see an ascension coming from this team? The Commanders.
Let me just say this. Hey, man. you know, I like Ron, but I'm sick of the talk. I'm tired of it. I am. Uh-huh. And I say that with all due respect, because he means well, but it's time to show what you can do, because and I go back to this again, 3 winning seasons in 10 years as a head coach. That's not getting it done. So you can't keep talking about doing things the right way and we got to do it this way and that way. You haven't had the results either. So everybody, again, if he's saying that we all have to ascend, I get that. Hopefully, by getting Carson Wentz, which I think more and more as each day passes by, I think it looks like a really good move for this team, because they needed a quarterback, and he is a quarterback that's proven that he can be successful. So I think it's a good look for them, but he's got to stop talking and giving us these cliche quotes. Just go out and perform.
So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. So, but also, do you think that, you know, they made the sound with Carson Wentz? You mentioned Carson Wentz. have they done enough to contend or win the NFC East so far?
Well, see, I don't necessarily believe that it's you can get a fair assessment just through free agency, because you still have your draft coming up. Uh-huh. And your draft, let's put it this way, you've kind of addressed the quarterback situation, at least short term. You know, hopefully, like I talked about with you guys before, if Carson Wentz plays well, then you give him a long-term contract. However, you've addressed that for today, that quarterback situation. Now, if you can go out in the draft and get one of these top-flight wide receivers, because there's several of them that can come in and be instant difference makers to pair up with Terry McLaurin, if you can get yourself one of these receivers, now you've really addressed, you know, two glaring holes on your team. You still need to get a middle linebacker. So perhaps your first two picks in the draft could be a receiver, middle linebacker, or middle linebacker, receiver in those orders. Now I think you're looking at their offseason as being a true success. I truly believe that. But if you don't get a receiver, if you don't get a middle linebacker, then I'm going to say you should have addressed that during free agency somehow, and they didn't. So I think they think they're going to get two of those guys in the draft.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We are chatting with Sports Journey's Commander's reporter, Lake Lewis.
All right, Lake, I have two questions for you. But The first one deals with Daniel Snyder, right? About a year ago, Roger Goodell said that Daniel Snyder would be suspended indefinitely. But, you know, if we think back a couple of weeks ago, he was at the stadium when they announced the team's new name. There's been another subsequent accusation against him and the organization that they have two sets of books and they aren't paying their just due to the rest of the other 31 owners with regards to their ticket sales. Let me rephrase that, let me ask this another way. Is this the last straw that breaks the camel's backs that ultimately gets Daniel Snyder out possibly as the owner? Or will he be given another two or three opportunities just to foul things up?
Well, I've said this for a long time. There's clearly a reason why he's still an owner, and that means that he's doing something that's appeasing the other 31 owners in the league. But once you get to a point where you're not appeasing them and you're costing them money, and they know that you are costing them money and you know it too, you're out of there. And I just think this thing's starting to snowball a little bit. It almost seems like, and I hate to say this, you know, but it just seems like, I think it's starting to get to a point where everybody feels like they'd be better off if maybe he's not the owner of the team. And that just seems to be the route that it's starting to go in. And he's not giving this football team up. Under any circumstances, you're going to have to force him out, and it's going to be a legal, you know, situation, lawsuits. It might get ugly before it gets better, but I just think that if you look at where this franchise is compared to where it was when he bought them, it's laughable now, and it's sad to go from being a blueprint, you know, for success in the NFL for a long time as an organization, always having sellouts, always having a loyal rabid fan base, you know, and more importantly, winning all the time. Super Bowl or bust at one point for this franchise. Now, just to talk about possibly making the playoffs every now and then, that's just not good, you know, and now you have a name change. And I don't care what anyone says. I truly believe in my heart, if this franchise was still winning and doing the things it did, you know, pre-Dan Snyder, I don't think the name would have been changed. I think Facts. That I truly believe that Native Americans and anyone that was offended by the name became extra offended by it because the product stunk. And nobody wants to be associated with a loser. Trust me.
Okay,
that's what happens.
Then let me piggyback off of what you just said about the team, you know, quote unquote, being a losing organization. Ron Rivera came out and made which I think was a very tone deaf statement about this team will stop being the easy target when it wins. Right. How do you, someone in the media, how do you process that statement? Because to me, if we think about it, there have been multiple accusations of sexual harassment. We know that there are culture issues. We know that there's a fan experience issues. There also may be an issue with if Daniel Snyder is still the owner getting a new stadium. How do you, as someone in the media, perceive Ron Rivera's comments?
I mean, he's correct. I mean, whether people like that or not, or they think that there's other things, at the end of the day, he's a football coach. He's not a guidance. I mean, he's not a counselor. He's not a psychologist. I mean, he was brought in here to coach a team on the field to win and go about it with some class and dignity. And he has done that. We have to give him that credit. He had definitely has brought a level of professionalism to this outfit. But they haven't won. I mean, when they won the division, they had a losing record. They had the same record last year. You know, so again, well, I mean, you know, one extra loss.
Yeah, still, I get you saying. No, I get it.
Right. But they still, you know, 7 wins. Uh-huh. And now you've got to improve on that. And I do agree with this. You know, I'm the same person that said, maybe, you know, I might surprise some people, and I understand why this team couldn't do it because of everything they're dealing with, but I sure enough would have tried to get Deshaun Watson in here, okay? Now, with all that being said, you know, you're not going to win every fan over because of what's going on and because of what's happened. I mean, there's some fans that are forever gone because of what's happened, and nothing you can do is going to bring them back. But I will say this, winning cures all ills, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
You go out and you start the season 4-0, 4-0, 5-0, you're going to have more people in the stands. Simple as that. You start the season off, you know, 8-1, 9-1, you're going to have a lot of people in the stands. And that's what happens. So he said a lot of these things will change when they win. The problem is, I do agree that there is a little bit of tone deafness with that comment, because a lot of the things that happen off the field are keeping you from winning on the field. And I know this for a fact because I've talked to several players over the years. They get tired of being in the tabloids. They get tired of being a laughingstock. They get tired of hearing and seeing things that they know aren't right. And they can tell when things aren't genuine. You know, I talked to a couple of players about the whole Sean Taylor situation this past year, and they were like, that's bad. I mean, if we all knew it was bad and the players know it's bad, why didn't the organization realize that it was bad? You know, so again, those things carry over. It's in anything you do. It all starts at the top. And if your organization isn't ran properly, or if, you know, you got a cheap owner, or if you got, you know, someone that's just not doing the right things by their staff and employees, you're gonna get crappy results. That's just the way morale is low. So when morale is low, you're not gonna win on the field.
Facts.
You know? You can change your uniform up, but you're still going to get pushed in the dirt if morale is low. You're just going to get pushed in the dirt. It's going to be a new uniform getting dirty.
So true. Bay Lake, we appreciate you being on, my man. Before we let you go, let our listeners know what you got going down the pike and also how they can catch you on social media.
Well, you know, first and foremost, like we talked about down here on ABC, WAY, and you can follow me on social media at Lake Lewis on Twitter, Lake Lewis Jr. on Instagram, Facebook. And, of course, sportsjourney.com is still there. We're still doing it. And, you know, the podcast, After Practice Podcast, is actually going tour on to ABC TV. So nice. We're good. Cool. It's a lot of good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
You may see me down in West Virginia. You want to check out?
Of course.
Check out.
Yeah, we'll get some breadsticks. You say Olive Garden.
Yeah, we need some breadsticks. Oh, I love the breadsticks at Olive Garden.
Of course.
I was told by somebody, we can't go back to Olive. She's not doing that no more. But.
Okay, where's a good wing spot then, Lake?
It was a wing spot.
No.
You can't eat wings either?
I'm not bringing. Listen, I got a place down here. I got a couple places down here, and they're really nice places.
All right,
great food.
All right.
And great ambiance. So I got you guys.
All right, bet. All right, bet. We're doing the tour. All right, Lake, man. Appreciate you, my man.
All right, take care.
All right, take care.
All right, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. All right.
Take care.
You can tell Lake has changed positions.
Yeah, he is, man. He's enjoying.
He is not pro commander no more.
No, he's not at all. Not at all. Hey, talking Nats, Kevin Nibley will join us to talk about opening day for the Nats after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Save.
For ages.
Yiddick.
Deuces. on Ampire Media. That's ampiremedia.com.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good? I know you like that. I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde queens. These young boys don't know what a don mean. I'm just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker, always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over. Need a plane, I explain it to my broker. Three bots and the hood top down and ain't over. You know there's more, man, where that come from. Me and Kuda love rolling back to back in one.
See the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
Still, I'm the most fly. I went so much, they wanna know who I'm coached by. Every day approached by chicks when I was no type. Wanna give me so side, but I'm like, don't try. I see the hisses and the disses when I go by. But see the misses on my wrists when I float by. Self-control and I can't tell you no lie. Tryna find a soulmate, you end up being so tired. I make my money, man, without the coca. Living la vida without the loca. I'm down south, so they show me country love. And I ain't even country thug. The people give me daps and hugs, so it must be love. And I love the country grub. It feel good to hear people singing welcome back. And I ain't even selling a track, cause I'm that Harlem cat.
Names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
I just got the whole Mace living, you know what I mean? Welcome back. It's Pastor Mace, though. You know what I mean? This wasn't the old school Mace,
Money
though.
Money Mace.
Money Mace. Thank you, Ray Jeezy. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray and Will T, part of Ampire Media at ampiremedia.com. All right, right now we have Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats on the line. What's going on, Kev?
Hey guys, how's it going? Congrats on episode 500.
Oh, thanks, Ken. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it. You can join us at Top Golf too next time we celebrate.
Yeah, it's next. Yeah, but I suck though. We all like that, you know what I mean? Will T, you got the first question. No, I'm going to take your question because you're taking too long. Hey, Kev, so
I do have.
Yeah, there you go. Let Will, I'm going to let you shine, man. I want you to shine.
Appreciate
this is what
that.
I'm doing.
Appreciate that. Hey, Kev, one question for you. The Nats are taking on the New York Mets on the opening day. What should the fans expect with regards to this lineup and also this starting rotation?
You know, this isn't necessarily probably going to be the best Nats team we've had in the last 10 years or so.
Don't talk on egg. Don't walk on eggshells, Kevin. Just give it to us. Just tell us, man. This is a 100.
Kevin, you already know I'm the positive one when it comes to the Nets, but I'm like,
this is a 90 loss team. Just tell us.
It is.
Hey, I'm telling you, they gonna shock some folks. But go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, no, I mean, most likely this is a 90-95 loss team this year. It will be in fourth or fifth place in the NL East. But you know, there are some possible silver linings. You know, Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg were pretty good pitchers only a couple years ago. You have some really exciting rookies, or K-Bear Ruiz, I guess, would be considered second-year player. But you know, really new guys like Ruiz, Josiah Gray, Lane Thomas has looked really good. And, you know, you still have guys like Victor Robles and Carter Kiboom, who were top 20 prospects not so long ago, that, you know, maybe this is the year they finally put it together. So I think there's some cause for optimism, or at least potential for optimism in the lineup. The bullpen, I'm not so sure. It's pretty much the same group that they had last season, except they added Steve Cishek, veteran kind of sidearm guy. They have Tyler Clippard, who most people remember from way back in the day. He's in Rochester now, but he should probably be up with a big club soon. It seems like they're kind of piecing a bullpen together. But yeah, this is definitely like a rebuilding year.
Doolittle?
Yes, I forgot Doolittle. they brought back, they had a Parra back for a little bit, although he's going to potentially start in Rochester. He did not make the opening day roster. They did bring back some fan favorite 2019 guys, and, we'll just see. But yeah, this probably is not a Nats team that's going to compete for the NL East. This year is going to be more about development and hoping that some of these guys like Ruiz, Thomas, Robles, you know, really settle in to become good major league starters. And those will be positions that next year you won't have to buy in free agency.
All right, Kev, this is Ray, and I'm going to follow my assignment. It's the 500th episode. I'm not going to go off script because I can go on a Davey Martinez rant right now if I wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. You mentioned Steven Strasburg. What can we expect from him this season? I will say behind Juan Soto, he's still a fan favorite, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it feels like a long time ago, you know, in the world because a million things happened, but really it was only about two and a half years ago that Steven Strasburg was the World Series MVP and brought the Nationals their first title, shut down Houston, you know, great Houston lineup in the World Series in Houston, you know. So he obviously has the ability to be one of the best pitchers on the planet when he's healthy, but that's the problem. He's almost seemingly never healthy. So, you know, he hasn't really pitched much in the last two seasons. He's working his way back. You know, I don't know. It's one of those things. I think when Strasburg's healthy and he's on the mound, fans should expect, if not an ace, a solid number two major league starter who could throw up an ERA around 3, 3.5. But the problem is it's hard to really expect, or it's hard to really count on his health. And that's his big issue. So, you know, I think a successful season as a Nats fan for Strasburg, especially because we have him, I think, for 4 or 5 more years on a huge contract, which is really comes in some point May or June, pitches 150 innings and stays healthy and looks decent. You know, I think if that happens, then as a Nats fan, you could think, all right, you know, that's one of our top two rotation spots that we have locked down, and maybe you can go into future years feeling more confident.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. Right now we have Talk Nats, Kevin Nibley on the line. So Kev, how important is it for the Nationals to start the season off fast?
I think it's pretty important because, you know, it's one of those things where if it gets ugly fast, you know, if they get off to a slow start, like the 19-31, you know, that kind of a start that seems like they have every, you know, they had the last few years. This isn't going to be a team that starts off 19-31 and comes back to win the World Series. This would be a team that would start off 19-31 and go on to win like 60 games, you know? So I think the better they start, you know, the more chance they have to maybe add on the margins as the year goes on. Mike Rizzo's very good at finding, you know, veteran cast-offs or pieces from other teams that he can bring in and kind of help win games with. Like he did it obviously in 2019 with Parra and you know, was able to get some, you know, at the time when he got Daniel Hudson, that wasn't really like a high profile move. He's able to find mid-level pieces and make them work. So, you know, if the team does start off well and get some confidence and the young guys are playing well, I don't expect them to necessarily compete this year, but, you know, Rizzo's shown in season he can make some moves to help, you know, kind of buoy a team. And this year also, there's an extra playoff spot in each league. So, you know, you could maybe get that third wild card in the NL, maybe only winning 86 games this year, something like that. So, well, I don't expect the Nats to be competing for that. You know, if they start off strong, you never know. I mean,
you never know. Exactly.
Yeah. Never know.
Yes. You never know. Thank you.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to get you out of here on this last question. During the off season, it's reported that Juan Soto turned down a, I believe, like $300 million deal.
Yeah, I think that's
350.
Yeah,
350.
He's gone.
Should fans view this as possibly his last year? Because we know in the past we've seen Bryce Harper leave. We've seen Anthony Rendon leave. Two guys who were drafted by this organization, came developed by this organization, and they weren't off. Well, Bryce Harper was offered a large contract. I don't think Rendon was offered a large contract, but it's the writing on the wall for Juan Soto because he rejected a contract of $350 million.
It's a great question. I don't think necessarily. I think what would have to happen, technically, Juan Soto is under contract for this year and two more. But I don't think the Nats took Bryce Harper all the way through, you know, his last years of arbitration to free agency. And they did the same with Anthony Rendon. And the reason they did that was because those teams were on paper, you know, World Series or playoff contenders. So they, you know, it's like they wanted to, you know, use these guys as long as they had them. And in Anthony Rendon's case, they won the World Series. He was like amazing that year and carried him through the playoffs. So it worked out. But you saw last year with Trey Turner, they traded him a year and a half early and they got what they could for him. They got Ruiz and they got Josiah Gray. And I do think with Soto, if they're not able to extend him, I'm not sure if this would be the year that they trade him, but certainly off season or next year, it would be coming pretty soon. But I think for them to find out if, you know, Juan Soto really wants to stay in DC, they're basically going to have to offer him the Mike Trout deal, which I believe was like $420 million over 12 years, something.
Yeah, that's about right.
Won't be, but roughly about that, you know, they're going to have to offer him that, maybe even with like a touch extra. But if they offer him something like that and he still says no, then then they'll have to trade him. And I think the fans should expect them to trade him if he would say no to something like that, because, you know, the team isn't really in a spot where they're going to compete for the World Series this year or next, probably. So if Juan Soto doesn't want to stay in DC, it would be smart for the team to maximize the return you could get for a player like that, which I think would be a pretty huge return. You know, you could get a lot of, you know, pieces that would help expedite the rebuild. But you know, I hope as a Nats fan, you know, and their payroll is getting pretty clear. They owe some money to Strasburg long-term, and, you know, Corbin has a couple more years left, but past that, they're pretty clear next year. So hopefully they'll make Wad and the Trout offer. He'll take it. And, you know, he's only 23 years old, I believe. You know, and we'll have him. Yeah, we'll have him here in D.C. For another, you know, 10 years, 12 years. But we'll see. I mean, it's definitely – I don't expect them to play it out the way they did with Harper and Rendon to the last minute. I expect them to make a decision on him in the next year for sure.
So young. He's so young. I will ask one question before I let you go. Ray wanted to give you all the smoke about David Martinez, so I'll do it for him. you know, is this like a make or break year for Davey, you know, in terms – I know – on paper, this roster isn't the best, but, you know, he's had some of the better rosters and, you know, he has won one World Series. Now it's a roster that we've all stated that is not the top roster. So is it important for Davey to look respectable this season?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think his job's in jeopardy or he's on the hot seat necessarily this season, but I think there's some stakes for him in a sense of like, if this team, if this team basically, you know, I don't know, if they win 60 games and they lose like 102 and it's a complete disaster, you know, I don't know how long they're going to let that happen. You know, where if this team wins 70, 75 and, you know, they're not anywhere near the playoffs, but they're competitive and they're not like an automatic win on your schedule. If he could manage something like that, then I think that would help him in terms of being there for the next stage of this rebuild. Well, yeah, if it's a total tank job, unfortunately, a lot of times when a team does rebuild is they have one manager in to lose all the games, you know, and then once the rookies and the top draft picks they get from doing that are ready, they bring in a new guy to like kind of whip them into shape. So Davey, I think, could run the risk of being the guy to oversee all the losses, and then they bring someone else in for the wins in a couple of years if it's a really bad season. I don't think he's on the hot seat, but if they go 60 and 102 or something like that, you know, I at that point, maybe they would look for a change.
Well, I hope the Nats shock the world. I mean, I'm the only one that's going to be positive about the Nats. I think the Nats can, if everything falls right, they may shock some folks. But, Kev, before I let you go, let our listeners know how they can catch you and how they can catch your content on Talk Nats. And also, you know, tell our listeners about, you know, the social media for Talk Nats as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can follow me. It's K_Nibley on Twitter. And Talk Nats. It's talknats.com. It's probably the best community on the internet to get really in depth about the Nationals. And this is a great time to get on there because, you know, we've got all sorts of exciting rookies and all these prospects kind of coming up from all the trades they made last season. You know, kind of get in early and you can learn about some of these players. That's pretty much what I have going on. And thanks again, guys, and congrats again on your 500th show.
Thanks, Kev. We
appreciate you,
see,
man.
You're so nice. Is he the only one who said that? Congratulations. Lake didn't say congratulations to 500, did he?
Nah, I mean, but we also left Lake's network, so, you know. I wouldn't say happy 500.
Hey, Kev, thanks. We appreciate it, man.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later. Right. Bye. Again, that's Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats. Follow Talk Nats on Twitter at Talk Nats. All right, we're going to skip the break. We're going right to the NCAA championship game, men's basketball. The Kansas Jayhawks beat the Tar Heels 72-69 in the championship game. Ray, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought we were going to. I know you were whispering, though. I apologize.
It's all good.
Well, I feel like North Carolina did not have legs. That difficult game against UCLA, and then obviously the emotional game of eliminating Coach K, which is dope because Coach K, you know, of course, he called this season a last ride. You know, it's going to be a documentary. It's going to be so much that follows that Duke program, and to have this North Carolina squad in his season, in his career, is just amazing. So I think the magnitude of that game, along with just their journey, I just feel like the second half, they just ran out of gas. And they only, what, 7 or 8 deep at best?
Yeah.
So with that short rotation, Kansas just had much more energy, and they took it to them in the second half. And Kansas, honestly, I feel like the moment got to them early on, and you saw that. But once they developed a sense of urgency, they came out guns blazing in the second half, and that's what made the difference.
I mean, I turned off the game at halftime thinking that North Carolina was going to be the national champions.
I know a lot of,
because I went to sleep after that. My first thoughts is the NCAA, you got to do better with starting this game a little bit earlier. 9:20 on a Monday night, just not going to happen, man. I felt, you know.
It's always 9 o'clock.
It's always 9 o'clock, and I always fall asleep.
It's only once a year, Will.
I always fall asleep, though.
Right, it's always, I'm about to say, it's always 9 o'clock.
Oh, but luckily, CBS Sports, they had a condensed game on 15
you
minutes.
You caught it?
I caught it all. I caught the highlights.
Online, you talking about online on YouTube? Yeah. So they got the long. You're right. It is a little long. Them drinks are long.
15 minutes. Hey. So I saw the hits. So what I saw from the highlights I saw in the second half, it looked as if Kansas refocused.
They did.
And North Carolina, the moment, the nerves, and, you know, like Ray stated, you know, at best, North Carolina is maybe 7 deep.
Yeah.
So fatigue got to them. What's Johnson, the reserve off the bench.
He balled.
Yeah, he balled.
Cam Johnson's little brother.
He balled. He stepped up in the last.
He got super tired, bro.
Somebody hit him in his stomach.
Okay.
Yeah, Puff Johnson.
He got criticized. People like, he out there dying. He ain't got that dog in him. But he got hit in
the stomach.
He got hit in the stomach earlier. The cameras did not catch it. And that's what happened. So he was trying to catch his breath.
I feel bad for the kid, Love, because he was balling throughout the tournament. And
he just didn't have the legs.
He had obviously. Yeah, it just wasn't.
Because the shot was short.
Short, yeah.
I mean, it is what
it is.
I thought he ran out of gas.
Yeah. I wanted him to take the last shot. I even said, I wanted.
No, they should have moved the ball. That's what got them there. They got multiple shooters.
They tried. I told you, they were trying to go a lot of pick and roll.
I thought that's who the guy was going to.
Lee tripped. That's why I messed it all up. Oh, you mean
on the last play?
Yeah,
but in the second half, Manic was non-existent too.
Yeah, that's true.
And they just didn't have the legs.
Yeah,
they didn't have the legs, like you said, right? But I think if you had to ask. And I'm a North Carolina supporter. I'm also a Georgetown Hoyas fan.
Okay.
So that's I'll say wild. This.
How you gonna like both? All right, go ahead, bro.
Hey, I can have two teams, man.
Knocked off. Go ahead, man. I don't even.
Yeah, I get it. But I like both.
Coach
like
Thompson had multiple chances. Now go ahead, dog.
I get it. Okay. But listen, if you could ask any North Carolina fan, you could either win the national championship
or Coach K's last year, you win at Cameron at his last game. That should have been a question.
And then you also get to knock him out in the Final Four. Any North Carolina fan will say, I take that. And being able to play in the national championship and be able to play that close with a team that a lot of people thought would be a team that's a down year for North Carolina with Hubert Davis just getting his first year in.
He did a phenomenal job.
For those people who thought that or who said that North Carolina's fall off, now North Carolina's back, and now there may be a change in the guard because we've known for years, you know, Duke has gotten the top recruits.
Yeah, but now it's just the
now it might Coach be a K change gone. In the tide because Coach K isn't there anymore.
True. All right, so on Twitter, we tweeted, you know, with folks' thoughts of the championship game. Homie Cameron said, it hurts seeing my Tar Heels come up short, but give Kansas credit. They came out in the second half more prepared than UNC. Finally, I think my Tar Heels are in good hands with Coach Davis for years to come.
He didn't use his timeouts probably in the second half because he had so much confidence in his group that when Kansas made their run, he expected the run to happen. That's what happens in college basketball. Yeah. Momentum changes, and there's always a run. There's always going to be a run. And coming out of halftime, they expected Kansas to make a run. And they thought they could absorb it, which they did for a while. They were holding them at bay, but Kansas stepped up the intensity defensively. Remy Martin, to me, was the catalyst because that ball pressure was amazing. Yeah. And he might have just put himself back in the ranks of those who could be drafted.
Remy, 1738.
That's Remy Martin.
But like 1738.
Josiah Johnson posted on Twitter that Leaky Black and Remy Martin are the best two names ever. It's crazy.
But also on Twitter, at DC Sports King said, tweeted, game shouldn't have been that close. If Kansas' game plan was to speed the game up earlier, they wouldn't have had such a deficit to overcome. You see, only 6-7 deep with the hurt Armando Baycott.
Exactly.
They did a great job slowing the game down for 19 minutes of the game.
I totally agree with that. I thought Kansas was going to take it to him, to be honest.
You also?
So when I saw them up, I was surprised, but I knew it wasn't over. Even though the Falcons' criticism is so dirty.
let me ask you guys this.
It's funny, though.
Bill so Self funny. Has his second national championship. Do we start to consider him as one of the elite
coaches?
He's always been an elite coach to me.
Yeah, he's an elite coach. I just dislike him for some strange reason. I don't know why I dislike him.
He's a nice guy.
I don't know why.
When he coached at Tulsa, to me, he was a great interview.
Illinois was good.
Coach K is one of the most annoying guys because I never said he wasn't.
No,
I don't hate on Coach K because he wins. I respect him because he wins, but in terms of his attitude and
Coach K is a pompous asshole.
That's how you really feel, bro.
That's how I feel. No, think about it. On the last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, how did he treat the fans? What the first thing he said is, "I'm highly disappointed." Why are you disappointed? Why didn't you coach a little better? How about that?
That's what he said. I don't pay Coach K no mind.
I was more so paying attention to the fact that my man Kenny Blakeney was in person, and you know he's a former guest and he's a friend of the urban sports scene. So I wasn't paying attention either to what Coach K was saying, but I gotta respect what he's accomplished. You cannot deny the fact that he's
He's a legend.
He's come from nowhere. I mean, just the fact that he should have been fired. A lot of the alumni wanted him to be fired early on, and then that team with Johnny Dawkins and Jay Billis, they saved his career. So
Tommy Amaker,
absolutely. Yeah. So they saved his career, and of course, he criticized the one-and-dones, but then he went that route. So I feel like he does not always practice what he preaches, and he's so phony. You know, sometimes he seems like this very nice guy, a la John Stockton, but behind the scenes, they ruthless.
On Facebook, the homie George posted, "Thank God Coach K and Carolina didn't win the tournament."
Oh wow!
It's too bad. Kansas did not. Hopefully, the NCAA will hammer them with their level one violations.
George, I love your channel, but you don't like Carolina. And clear, you got to put your bias aside. Nobody really likes Coach K on this show, but you got to respect it. You got to respect Carolina, bro. Come on.
I don't dislike
Hubert Davis, Virginia.
I respect what he's done. Yeah. Right? He's one of those coaches that you think of, such as John Thompson, Dean Smith, Wooden. These are guys who built the organization. Like that. Like if when you think of that, when you think of Duke basketball, you for ages and years upon people,
my ages,
you dig. people will always think of Coach K, right? Yeah. He's one of those guys. He's bigger than the program that he built, right? Just like John, you think of Georgetown basketball, you still think of John Thompson, right?
That's right.
You think of UCLA basketball, you think of John Wooden. Yeah. You think of North Carolina basketball, you think of Dean Smith.
And Green Bay basketball, you think of Wally.
And on that note, let's end this.
No, we got one more. Hey, so I was gonna do another break, but I'm not doing a break. I'm skipping a break for this too. All right, so was it last week we did it, right?
Interview with Drake Cheatham?
Yeah, huh?
Drake? Yeah. So last week. You can go and check that out.
All right, so check it out on YouTube.
And subscribe right there.
Yeah, exactly. But it's time for our HBCU Corner. This segment spotlights coaches and players within HBCU athletics. Last week, we interviewed Prairie View A&M University safety Drake Cheatham. And he was dope. Good young kid. We wishing him the best. But we conducted last weekend. Here's the interview.
Prairie View A&M safety Drake Cheatham on the show. Drake was also first team all defense in the SWAC. What's up, Drake, and welcome to the Urban Sports Thing.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor.
It's a pleasure having you on. So we're going to start off with a question, like a hard question. First, what's your favorite TV show, my man?
My favorite TV show right now is probably I Am Athlete.
I Am Athlete. All right, yeah. So I checked you on the bio, man. You had some. I saw your bio on the site, and I saw you like the Flash.
Yeah.
You my dude, man. You there? We here. We here. That's why I've been strong with that for seasons. You've been following from the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, man. You like the new season? You like the new season?
I like the old season more, but
me
the new
too,
season.
Bro. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So, who's your favorite musical artist?
Future.
Future.
Sure, okay. My favorite. Future. Music.
I know, man. See, right, we're on TI, DMX, 3-6 Mafia. We a little older.
We older. That's why. But as long as it ain't like Migos or something, you all right, man. I guess. You know what I'm saying? But Future, yeah, interesting. That's what's up, though. So. Who's your favorite football player or favorite athlete? You don't have to be a football player, but who's your favorite baller in the NFL right now?
My favorite baller in the NFL right now is probably Q Diggs from the Seahawks. He's been balling lately, so
okay.
He's just in his bag. That's why I like to watch. I like the smaller safety, so
I like that. Folks usually try to go with the all-brand folks. The known folks. I like that.
Yeah.
Because he's balling now. He's balling now, for real. Yeah, like, real talk. Yeah. He is balling. All right. So, who's your favorite professional team?
I'm a 49ers fan. You know, my pop's big on the 49ers, so it kind of just, you know, wore off on me. So, I'm a 49ers fan. My pops used to tell me, like, if you're going to sit in here and watch the football game with me, you got to go for the Niners. So, it kind of just... That's kind of how it went, man.
Strong on.
My dad was a 49ers fan too, so I get it.
Your pops probably Jerry Rice. He probably was a Jerry Rice fan. That's probably what Joe meant. Montana.
Or Joe Montana football on Sega. Or Joe Montana football on Sega back in the day.
So
yeah. Now I'm aging myself, man.
So they was close. They was close to making the Super Bowl, man. So how you feel about that? Now Trey Lance looking like he gonna get that starting job at some point this season. What's your thoughts on the Niners right now?
I think Trey Lance could do it, man. I mean, we can't get over the hump. We got the team for it. I mean, but we straight. Trey Lance gonna handle business. FCS guy, he gonna handle business.
Love it. All right, so you could end up playing there. What if they bring you in? How you gonna act? You know what I'm saying? You got like a fan, or you gonna be motivated?
Nah, I'm gonna go crazy, man. All right.
Crazy, man. The honesty. I love the honesty. All right, this is the toughest question though. All right, here we go. Who got the best homecoming?
And HBCUs.
Though. HBCU. Who got the best homecoming?
TV, hands down.
Okay. See, I like it.
I want to know why, though. That's what I want to know. Tell me why. You got to explain why.
Man, PV homecoming, man. First and foremost, we're going to win the game. First and foremost, we're going to win the game. And then we're going to enjoy the whole week, like from the Saturday before to the Sunday at the end of it. So
you ain't gonna get no particulars, huh?
Nah, I can't give out no particulars. You know, you been to HBCU, you know.
We graduates HBCUs. You know, we on the East Coast though, so it's like Howard. You know what I'm saying? You got ATL, got all their schools, but everybody thinks theirs is the best. We just had somebody say Norfolk was the best. So that's what's up, though. All HBCU homecomings is, I guess, my only experience really is like Howard, Hampton, of course, my alma mater, UMS. But I only know one person with a preview. I heard it's off the chain all year round, though. I heard it ain't just the homecoming.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a lot of distractions, man. A lot of distractions.
No, Ray, don't give him the dub, man. Don't do that. But he I like the way you're answering the questions. I like it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Nah, I get it. I can get the vibes all day, so it's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's get right to it. All right, in the 2021 season, you became first team all defense in the SWAC. You were also first team in 2019 as well. What was your motivation going into the 2021 season?
I mean, just they say it's harder to repeat, you know, keeping that same, you know, edge and hunger, like, you know, before you got any awards and accolades. So I really tried to pride myself on, you know, repeating and stuff like that. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, perform the best for my team. So, I mean, the accolades and cool, it's cool and all, but at the end of the day, I was trying to win this SWAC championship.
I know that's right. How hard was it knowing that, I mean, after, you know, the 2020 season was kind of pretty much shut down, how hard was it, you know, trying to transition to that to 2021 and kind of regaining what you did in 2019?
It was for me. The 2020 was kind of an eye-opener because we only played three games and that spring season, and I got hurt on the third one. So, and I ain't really played the third game. So that there right there was an eye-opener for me. Like, you know, I really got to lock back in and focus back in, you know, because the three games, you know, eventually it was supposed to be my last season anyway. So that's what really made me lock in.
So as a safety, who do you model your game after? Because everybody has like somebody looking, they try to model the game, you know, to a certain extent.
Bob Sanders.
I like that one. I like that one.
From the Colts, man.
Yeah.
He the real deal. That's who I like to watch. And that's who I try to model my game after.
Bob Sanders, he ain't been in the league for a while, so you just studied him for a minute.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. What is he? He like 5'9", right? That's kind of you like the smaller way. Yeah, he was a striker, man. Hey, listen, you know the Colts defense won the greatest. Of course, they had Peyton back then, but if it weren't for Bob Sanders and Freeney, right, they wouldn't have been contenders. So,
right, for sure,
I'm feeling that one definitely. So, as a team, y'all had a good season this past year. Of course, Jackson State, you fell to them in the SWAC championship. How proud of you? Of the season you had, and also just your teammates, how y'all balled out this past year.
I mean, I'm proud of the team because, I mean, this is a jump. I ain't never been to the SWAC championship at PV, so this is a jump, and it's something we can build off of. So, you know, of course you want to win the game, but this is something, you know, to keep building off of, you know, so because I got another year. So this is important to playing that, you know, last year to get over the hump.
So you play another year? You gonna play? You gonna play? You going forward? Okay, bad.
Sweet. So this season, I know you're talking about getting better. It's more attention now on HBCUs, of course, because in part Deion Sanders and others. But hey, you know, it's all positive. And you know, HBCUs back in the day would produce a lot of NFL players, and we're getting back to that point now. So what's your main focus going in? And just talk about what it means to play at HBCU.
It means a lot to play at HBCU. I mean, just representing in the HBCU culture and the HBCU college, you know, and knowing that we don't get the proper publicity, that I can be a staple to, you know, change that, you know, a staple for change that can bring the exposure to HBCU. So that's why I feel like it's important, and it's my duty in a way to, you know, bring light to HBCUs.
Sweet.
Being at HBC, what would you tell a high school kid or a high school prospect who's thinking about HBCU? What would you tell them?
Man, you can go to the league from anywhere. Uh-huh. Don't stress about the league. That you can go to the league from anywhere. If you're a baller, you're gonna get the call no matter what. So don't stress about, you know, I'm going to a smaller school and I might not get the exposure I need. If you're a baller, they're going to come call you and they're going to come find you, regardless of where you're at. So,
man, Drake, you've been dope, man. Hey, before I let you go, also, first I want to say I'm a Washington football team, well, Washington Commanders fan. I don't even like saying the Commanders, but it is what it is. So if you ever, like, think about, you know, trying to show some tapes, whatever, come down here, you know what I mean? I like your style because you know about old school football players, man. But once you said Bob Sanders, you had me because that was a dog. Like, I feel like you already have the mental, which is dope. Like, you could tell that you've done your homework in terms of seeing, you know, what kind of players you kind of can mirror and how you can be successful once you make it to the next level. I'm all about claiming. So once you make it to the next level, you know what I'm saying? So that's dope, man. Real dope. So before I let you go, man, you want to tell any of our listeners, you know, how they catch you on social or anything you want to plug? It's all this. The floor is yours, my man.
My IG is Draco the General, Draco DRACO the General. So just follow me on Instagram and, you know, support. Show love.
That, man. Hey, Drake, man, thanks for being on HBCU Corner. We appreciate you, man. You stay blessed, my man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
You gonna be on too? Cause you're looking at me like I was gonna do all the talking. Yeah. Anyway, that was that was Drake Cheatham from Prairie View A&M University. Dope dude. Make sure you check him out. Follow him on Twitter. He's doing big things, man. SWAC conference, probably the best safety in the SWAC. I'm claiming it out anyway. All right, man. Subscribe to our show Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in iHeartRadio and Google Podcast. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, on IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel too. Hey, check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Papyri Media at amppapyrimedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Papyri Media shows, as well as other great content. Thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. 500. You know how we do it. What's that, 500?
500. It's been a long time, man.
I know, bruh.
Started out in what, 2010?
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
12 years later. Outlasted a lot of
outlasted a lot of folks, bro.
We've outlasted some people in legacy media. You know
what I'm saying? We had, like, what was it? What's my man from Australia? We used to make, Ray don't talk about.
Yeah, doing live chat content.
Yeah, live chat.
Yeah.
What else we had? We've experienced.
He's the person that created for ages. Yeah. I've been listening to Urban Sports
for ages.
Yeah.
Even though it was like the ninth episode.
Yeah, I know, right? Facts.
Yeah. Nah, but it's been good, man.
Apple G's, man. We had Apple G's.
Yeah, Apple G's. Tom Block.
Who was that? We had Coach. West Coast Dillafan.
Yeah,
man, we do a lot, man.
We went through a lot of. It's been a lot of iterations of this show, man.
Yeah, man.
It's been some times, man.
Now we do some highlight, whatever.
Oh, I ain't even on. Oh, I'm still on.
You
all, okay.
Yeah, I put you on.
Yeah. We're gonna do a documentary.
A documentary.
We are.
Yes, sir.
Straight out of PG.
Yeah, straight out of PG.
I've already casted it.
East Troop. Oh, you sure did. Dang, no way, we done. We done. I remember this crap. We done. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, man, leave us out, big homie.